So despite the fact that the recording industry, and particularly as it applies to classical music, is dead and buried and forgotten, according to all of the reports we've been hearing for the last 10 years, that doesn't appear to be the case with the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia. You're still selling music and getting paid for it.
Yes, we do it in a different way. I mean, we've been recording over the years, I think it's more than 10 or 15 years even, all of our concerts. And over a year ago, we made, actually I'm very happy about it, a deal with Naxos in Hong Kong, straight to Klaus Hyman, the founder, to have all of our concerts, recorded concerts, uploaded as virtual CDs. So he was in agreement that he basically said, look, give me everything what you have and give me everything what you will make. So every concert is turned into a virtual CD and is made available through at least 50 web providers through the services of Naxos. So it's a complete different way of selling music, and it has been, I mean, it really has been a blast for it. It's been very successful, and it's definitely part of our strategy of building audiences beyond the concert hall.
And you say beyond the concert hall, you're also now getting into the video market, where there's not typically been much interest from broadcasters in showing mm-hmm. orchestras in performance, but online, there's still a very vibrant market for these concert videos.
Yeah, exactly, and in a complete different way. I mean, we've expanded now, that was about 6 months ago, we've expanded the contract with Naxos also for video. We've already about 8 concerts, 8 programs in the can, and we are starting to record each of our concerts from the next season onwards for HD video. Naxos will upload them. They will be available for download, but also for streaming and for rental through tons of providers, Hulu, Vudu. I know they are making deals now, a deal with Netflix, I mean, iTunes Movies, Amazon Video, and so forth. And it's a whole different way, I mean, because you're basically facing, and as you just mentioned it, it's not the pure typical broadcast market, but you're facing the global market in an on-demand environment, and that's really the future.
You're still doing pretty well in the concert hall, over 80% occupancy of seats. Is this digital strategy directed towards filling those extra 17% of seats that are not being filled?
Well, obviously, it will definitely help, but I must be open about this, that it's not really the primary aim, because, once again, we're facing the global market. I just went over my royalty statements for audio only, and that's based on 18 albums. Meanwhile, we have 25 albums online and we're going up to 100. But we have 34,000 people out of 52 countries over a six-month period that downloaded or streamed our content paid. So obviously those people will probably not come to our concerts in the concert hall. But then again, you know, it's an added value. I strongly see our audiences in the concert hall, and then I see kind of a virtual concert hall, which is the world, which
one is family and the rest is friends.
Exactly. And you know, audio obviously is not live. It's a live performance, but it's not happening when you listen. But with HD video, we'll have that possibility. I mean, not for next season, but maybe the season thereafter. A Sunday matinee, 2:30 p.m. United States. It's about 8:30 p.m. in Europe. I can see us going live. And that could also give a little bit more exciting aspect, where you basically from stage could say, welcome to the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia, also welcome to our friends in Europe who are joining us now for this concert. So you're really working with a virtual concert hall.
And this is something that's been successfully tried by the Berlin Philharmonic. They have a wide subscriber base around the world who are watching their concerts live. On the other hand, the New York Philharmonic now has said that it doesn't believe it's going to make money from music anymore, and it's going to give it away for promotional purposes. They've given up too early, right?
Well, I'm not really too... I mean, you can give it away for promotion purposes, but, you know, that's really not our aim. I mean, the experience is, I mean, just what I mentioned with the downloads that we have already, that people really don't mind paying a certain amount of money, as long as it's reasonable, for something that they can keep. I mean, you know, with the download, a full album download of our concert is $9, between $9 and $10, and people keep it. Let's not forget also that our subscribers and our single ticket holders who came to a particular concert, because I make the announcement from stage, they say, hey, that's great. I mean, this was such a wonderful concert, and now for an extra $9, I can have it forever. And so that's also a teaser to them.
Where's the 5-year end game to this? Is it to be consistent in the concert hall, and then to have this huge audience through other digital means and through, I'm guessing, social media will come to play in this as well.
Yeah, in my view, I mean, social media, obviously, but I mean, in my view, I think it's going to be a combination of the concert hall as we know it today, but definitely a virtual concert hall. And my personal opinion is that we need more to think outside of the box. I mean, people say,
outside the box, literally outside of the box, that exactly. is the hall. Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, it's outside of the hall because, I have to fill up my hall, Oh, of course, it goes without saying that you have to fill up your hall, but are there any other ways to expand your audience? One, and two, maybe attract new people through new media initiatives that may physically come to your hall. And this is something that you cannot build overnight. I mean, as you just mentioned, like it takes up 3, 4, up to 5 years where you can say, okay, we've established this. And I strongly believe also in the fact that you create a pattern in the sense that, okay, every month we upload about 5-6 concerts. And there's going to be that huge catalog out there. And people really want to see that catalog. I mean, then you divide it. We have several umbrellas. Definitely for HD video, where we're going to have a classical series, we're going to get a great soloist series, we're going to have a composer portrait series where our commission is going to be on a separate umbrella. So that's going to be pretty exciting.
You're doing exceptional work here in that regard. Who are you looking at as an example? Are there other orchestras? Clearly the people like the Metropolitan Opera are doing phenomenal work in the HD video area. You know, 3 million people paying for seats to go and sit in a movie theater. That's a huge market that they have. That's not something I'm presuming that you can aspire to. But are there people in the orchestral world who are doing this well?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Los Angeles Philharmonic too, but definitely also San Francisco. San Francisco is doing a great job. And yeah, let's not forget, indeed, our European friends. I mean, a major player in Europe is EuroArts. They're based in Berlin. They're more into less audio, more into HD video, but they basically have alliances with all the major opera houses in Europe and also symphony orchestras, and they kind of serve as the distributor also towards TV, DVD, and live streaming also for those orchestras. So I think there is still a lot to be developed, there's still a lot to be done.
Is there the potential there that down the road digital sales could pay for your running expenses and that the concert hall and donations would be the cream on the cake rather than the cake itself?
I don't think so. Not at this point. I don't see that happening yet because let's not forget the production cost. There's of course the income stream, but there is also a significant part, and rightfully so, that goes back to the musicians, because at the end of the day, they are performing. So there is the income stream, but I think, you know, maybe over 3, 4, 5 years, I mean, we made projections, it's going to be a significant income. But then again, the production cost of putting out concerts and recording them and the whole organization of a nonprofit is so huge. But every little bit helps. But what is really exciting about this is that it's an initiative that has so many facets, so many things, because you have the income stream, you have the marketing and the PR buzz, you're out there, you know, globally. And you could also look at it that it's a form of international touring without displacing the orchestra, where you say, look, hey, wait a minute, but you have access to what we do. So it can also, I do know that, I mean, this is out of experience, that recordings, also the traditional recordings, although we all know that the traditional CDs, it's very, very tough, but they're very helpful for an orchestra to get into international touring. But now we can do this, you know, virtually, where people will know. I mean, those recordings now are reviewed. Naxos is doing an amazing job in marketing, in really getting it out there. Let's not forget, I mean, they are the world leader in digital distribution. To give you one example, when EMI Classics, I think it's about 1 year ago, they just gave up the digital distribution. They signed an exclusive agreement with Naxos because Naxos was just the leader. So everything, if you go to Naxos, is distributing EMI Classics worldwide on a digital platform.
And you.
Exactly.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.